Imagine buying a massive apartment complex in Texas,
Yeah.
right? Just because you were told literally everyone in the country was moving there.
Yeah, the classic guaranteed win.
Right. So you sign the papers, you take on all that debt, and then, you look out the window and the moving trucks have they've completely vanished. Your property taxes have doubled, and your property managers are out there handing out like 3 months of free rent just to get a single hesitant tenant to even walk through the front door.
It's grim.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, welcome to the night shift. You are stationed with us at the nursing desk of what we can honestly only describe as a high security psychiatric ward.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like.
But the patients we are observing tonight aren't your typical cases. We are looking at the titans of the commercial real estate industry.
And let me tell you, it is not a quiet night in the ward.
No, it is not.
You can literally hear them out there pacing the linoleum halls, just muttering to themselves, clutching these spreadsheets that haven't actually reflected reality in 4 years.
It's exhausting.
It is honestly exhausting to sit here and watch it. There's this deep rhythmic discomfort, you know, seeing an entire industry just slowly lose its grip on basic mathematics.
Just because they refuse to accept that the world has changed.
Exactly.
And that is exactly what we are dissecting in this clinical deep dive tonight. The admission file on our desk right now is the Sunbelt multifamily market.
The golden child.
Right, the golden child. For years, this sprawling, sun-drenched collection of tier one and tier two markets, so places like Austin, Phoenix, Nashville, Miami, it was considered the absolute immune system of the U.S. real estate landscape.
Completely untouchable.
Untouchable. Everyone told you it was resilient to literally any macroeconomic virus.
Well, the chart we're looking at tonight tells a very different, very grim story.
Yeah, it does.
We're reviewing the latest 2026 diagnostic notes from Priyanshu Adithakar.
Pre, for short.
Pri, yeah. He is the lead investigator and, frankly, the sole reporter out there who's actually willing to document the industry's cognitive decline. And he does it without sugarcoating the symptoms, which I appreciate.
Yeah, we need that brutal honesty right now.
The diagnosis he has handed down is brutal. And it requires us to completely deconstruct, you know, how this Mavic got so entirely detached from reality.
Right, because the patient is suffering from what Pri labels automatic win autonomy, which is presenting alongside a severe case of build it and they will come delusion.
A deadly combo.
Extremely deadly. So our mission on this shift is to deconstruct Pri's boots on the ground diagnosis of this delusion. We need to walk you through exactly how Pri saw the symptoms in the data long before these massive family portfolios started getting traded away for pennies on the dollar.
To understand why the patient is currently so agitated out there in the hall, you know, arguing with the walls, we have to look at the expired prescription they're still desperately trying to fill.
They're constantly trying to fill it.
Yeah, the industry is wandering around repeating a script from 2021, but the bottle is empty. And this brings us to the primary symptom in Pri's chart, which is migration aphasia.
Let's unpack that.
Yeah.
Because aphasia, in a medical sense, is the loss of the ability to process or express information.
Oh.
So, how exactly is the commercial real estate patient failing to process the reality of 2026?
It's the complete inability to process incoming demographic data. I mean, Pri's finding is undeniable. Domestic migration and household formation hit a 5-year low in March of 2026.
Wow, a 5-year low.
Yeah. The entire narrative that fed that Sunbelt frenzy, that, you know, unstoppable, glorious torrent of New Yorkers fleeing to Florida and Californians escaping to Texas, it's dried up.
Wait, hold on. I want to push back on this for a second, just on behalf of anyone observing who still reads the news. People are still moving to Florida and Texas,
You're
right?
there.
I mean, I still see U-Hauls. I still see articles about corporate headquarters relocating to the South. Are you saying the migration stopped entirely, or is something else breaking the math?
That is the crucial distinction. And it's exactly where the industry's brain is short-circuiting right now.
Okay, how so?
The migration hasn't dropped to absolute zero, but it has severely normalized. And why? Because the cost of living in these Sunbelt cities skyrocketed during the boom.
Oh, right.
It completely destroyed the affordability advantage they once had. Plus, the aggressive return to office mandates of 2024 and 2025, that pulled a massive chunk of the remote workforce back to the coastal hubs.
So the influx is now just a trickle.
Exactly. It's a trickle.
But the development pipeline didn't really get that memo, did it?
Precisely. Because real estate is a slow, lumbering beast, a developer who saw those booming migration numbers back in 2021 or 2022. They bought land, they spent a year getting permits, 2 years building, and they're only now delivering that massive 400-unit complex to the market in 2026.
So the pipeline remains fully dilated.
Fully dilated. The market is attempting to swallow 2024 and 2025 development deliveries with a 2026 digestive system that has completely shut down.
Which creates a total mechanical failure on the ground. Pre calls this oversupply edema.
Right.
And, you know, edema is the swelling caused by excess fluid trapped in the body's tissues. Mm. So here we are talking about a massive localized swelling of apartment inventory in these specific submarkets.
It's suffocating. When the lungs of a market fill with excess inventory like that, the immediate mathematical result is negative absorption.
And absorption is simply the rate at which available homes are leased in a specific market over a given time.
Right? Exactly. Right now, there are far more new units being delivered and old units becoming vacant than there are warm bodies to actually fill them.
Wow.
And when a market cannot breathe, rent growth asphyxiates. It dies.
So if the vital signs are flatlining so clearly, I mean, if rent growth is dead and absorption is negative, why are the popular investment blogs and the real estate influencers still out there blasting emails to their investors telling everyone it's a perfectly healthy market?
Oh, well, what you are reading in those newsletters is a textbook symptom of what Prey diagnoses as blog-induced hallucination.
Blog-induced hallucination. I love that.
Yeah, it is a literal manifestation of echolalia. They are trapped in this feedback loop, blindly repeating outdated optimistic narratives just to comfort themselves.
Like a psychological defense mechanism.
Exactly. Rather than looking at the cold clinical reality of the data where the yield vital signs are totally flatlining, they just recite the old hymns of the Sun Belt boom.
So they're trying to manifest demand through sheer collective denial.
Pretty much.
But because the industry is hallucinating this phantom demand, the cognitive decline is moving from the theoretical to the physical. It's actually manifesting as a severe loss of motor skills on the ground.
Right.
Price Chart refers to this as operational friction inside the asset management suite. Let's look at how this plays out in the actual leasing office.
Well, when the brain is hallucinating, the hands just don't know what to do. The first localized symptom of this is the absorption blockage. General Partners, the GPs running these syndications, they're reporting to their investors that they have, quote, healthy traffic.
Right. They're bragging that people are walking through the doors and touring the properties.
Yeah, but there is zero conversion. People look around, they nod, and they leave.
And Prier diagnoses this specific disconnect as executive dysfunction.
Mm.
The frontal lobe of the asset management suite is just failing.
Yep. They are tragically confusing mere property tours with actual signed leases. A tour does not pay the mortgage, you know.
No, it absolutely doesn't.
A tour does not satisfy the debt service. But because they are suffering from executive dysfunction, they view the movement of bodies through a lobby as proof of life. They completely ignore that the lease agreements remain unsigned.
And this is where it gets incredibly desperate. Because they have all this empty inventory, they have to try and convert those useless tours into leases somehow.
Yeah.
So the asset managers start resorting to these drastic cosmetic measures. They start offering 2, sometimes 3 months of free rent up front just to get a signature.
Mm-hmm.
Look, offering 3 months of free rent to mask an absorption blockage is, honestly, it's like applying blush to a cadaver.
Oh.
It gives the temporary illusion of color, the illusion of life, but it does absolutely nothing to stop the underlying decay.
That is a dark analogy, but it is mechanically, clinically accurate. It is purely a cosmetic intervention.
Yeah.
But here is where the behavior shifts from simple denial into active deception. It's how they document this cosmetic intervention. And this brings us to a fascinating and deeply concerning mechanism in Prier's chart, which is the Midnight Ledger.
The Midnight Ledger. It sounds like a ghost story, but it's actually an accounting trick, isn't it? Explain how this works.
It's where the phantom concessions live. Let's walk through the mechanics of it. Say an apartment is listed for $2,000 a month, but to get a tenant to sign, the operator has to give them 3 months entirely free.
Right.
Mathematically, over a 12-month lease, the actual rent collected the net effective rent drops to around $1,500 a month.
But they don't want to tell the bank that the rent is $1,500.
Exactly. They artificially prop up the asking rent on paper at $2,000 to maintain the illusion of a high valuation for their lenders and their investors.
So they hide the 3 months of free rent in the Midnight Ledger.
Right. They're quietly bleeding out on the actual collected revenue, but presenting a perfectly healthy face to the capital markets. It is an accounting hallucination designed purely to delay the inevitable autopsy.
Which is institutional amnesia.
Yeah.
I mean, they've completely forgotten that eventually the debt service cliff arrives.
It always arrives.
The loan comes due or the interest rate cap expires, and the lender won't accept phantom concessions as a form of payment. The bank wants actual dollars.
Yeah, real money.
And that brings us to what Pry calls the organizer's trap, where syndicators entirely lost their spatial awareness.
Spatial awareness is critical for survival in real estate, but these syndicators bought into the delusion that geography alone was an investment thesis. They bought the zip code rather than analyzing the specific submarket data.
Right. They saw that, like, Dallas was booming, but they didn't buy Dallas. They bought a hyper-specific plot of dirt on a hyper-specific street that suddenly has 4,000 new units opening on the exact same block. The macro trend of Texas doesn't save you from the micro reality of your street corner. They clung to this bizarre delusion that any plot of dirt located south of the Mason-Dixon line was a guaranteed exit. Like the warm climate itself was a hedge against bad underwriting.
And if they are faking the rents in the Midnight Ledger just to survive the year, what happens when they actually try to sell the building? Who is buying these properties when the math is fundamentally rigged?
No one in their right mind.
Because this localized operational delusion is no longer contained to just the leasing office. It's highly infectious. It has now bled into the broader capital markets, completely destroying the seller's ability to gauge reality at the negotiating table.
Which transitions us directly into section 3 of Pray's chart, which is transactional risk. And this is where the delusions hit a literal brick wall. The symptom we are tracking here is called negotiation drifting. Sellers are coming to the table exhibiting severe judgment imperatives.
That's severe. They are coming to the negotiating table demanding 2022 cap rates in a 2026 interest rate environment.
Let's make sure everyone observing with us understands exactly why that breaks a deal. Walk me through the mechanics of a cap rate and why a 2022 price is physically impossible today.
Sure. Let's break down how this delusion breaks the math. A capitalization rate, or a cap rate, fundamentally represents the yield a property generates if you bought it entirely in cash.
Okay.
In 2022, a seller might demand a 3.5% cap rate. And why did buyers pay that? Because money was incredibly cheap. You could get a loan from the bank at a 3% interest rate. If your property yields 3.5% and your debt costs 3%, you are making a positive spread.
The math works. You borrow cheap to make a profit. But we aren't in 2022 anymore.
Right. In 2026, debt costs 6% or 7%. If a seller is still demanding that 2022 price, that 3.5% cap rate, they are asking the buyer to borrow money at 6% to earn a 3.5% return.
You are in negative leverage.
You are mathematically losing money the exact second you sign the closing document.
It's madness. I mean, they are negotiating with ghosts. They are sitting in empty rooms, arguing with market conditions that have been dead and buried for 4 years.
They are completely unaware that the capital markets, the buyers, the institutional capital, have fundamentally shifted their posture. The capital markets are no longer playing the role of the enthusiastic cheerleader.
No.
They have adopted a cold, disciplined, pathologist approach.
And a pathologist doesn't care about the patient's dreams. A pathologist doesn't care about the color of the blush on the cadaver.
Not at all.
A pathologist cuts open the tissue and determines exactly why the system failed. The buyers are demanding to see the unvarnished math, but the sellers are still pointing out the window at the sunshine. They're clinging to what Pry calls the delusion of immunity.
The delusion of immunity is perhaps the most dangerous diagnosis in this entire 2026 report. It is this deeply ingrained belief that, quote, migration covers all sins.
Right.
The assumption was that if you just get enough people moving down south, the sheer volume of humanity will outpace any operational mistakes or rising costs.
But the pathologists have opened up the financials, and they are finding tumors that the sellers completely ignored. Let's talk about the net operating income, the NOI.
Yeah, let's look at the NOI.
That is the actual revenue left over after you pay the operating expenses. And while the industry was hallucinating about migration saving their NOI, two massive expenses were quietly metastasizing: property taxes and insurance.
Exactly. These Sunbelt states were universally marketed to investors as low-tax, business-friendly havens. But the reality of 2026 is that municipal property tax assessments have finally caught up to those inflated 2022 valuations.
So your tax bill just doubled.
It doubled. And the insurance markets. Between the increasing frequency of hurricanes in Florida and the catastrophic grid freezes in Texas, the risk models were entirely rewritten. Insurance premiums have absolutely exploded.
So these two fixed line items are actively devouring the net operating income. The very NOI that the mythical migration wave was supposed to protect is being eaten alive by the state and the insurance companies.
And because of oversupply, you know, you cannot raise the rent to cover those new costs. So watching them pace the ward tonight, what are these investors doing?
What are they doing?
They are retracing their steps. Preed documents it as retracing failure. It is a cognitive loop. They are sitting in the psychiatric ward waiting for 5% rent growth to magically return to their charts and save them from the math.
They are attempting to retrace their way back to a macroeconomic anomaly that simply no longer exists.
We must reiterate Preed's brutal reality check here. In a heavily oversupplied 2026 Sunbelt market, expecting anything above 1.5% rent growth is pure delusion.
Pure delusion.
Achieving even that 1.5% is nothing short of a medical miracle.
A medical miracle. That is where we are at. The baseline expectation of the industry requires divine intervention to pencil out.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So since the rest of the ward is busy polishing their pro formas, talking to ghosts, and waiting for magic beans to sprout in the courtyard, we must turn to the final section of the chart. The treatment.
The treatment.
We need to administer Preed's heavy reverse psychology to actually treat your portfolio as the listener before you succumb to the exact same infection.
As Preed notes in the patient's chart, traditional investment advice is totally useless here. You cannot treat a delusion by agreeing with it. You have to shock the system.
Right.
Preed's defensive playbook relies on establishing rigid clinical boundaries. The first boundary is what he calls the fiduciary guardrail.
And the fiduciary guardrail centers on the supply stress test. Mm. Now, as an observer sitting here with us, how do you actually apply this? How do we test if a deal's brain is still functioning without the hallucinatory internal rate of return, the IRR, that the GPs are constantly peddling in their pitch decks?
You strip away all the oxygen.
Yeah.
You explain to the syndicator that you are running a clinical flatline test. You model the deal with 0% rent growth and a maximum of 92% occupancy for the next 24 consecutive months.
0%. That is a flatline. Mm. But what does that actually do to the money? What is the, you know, the aha moment there for the person writing the check?
Yeah. Well, because of how these deals are heavily leveraged with debt, if the rent growth flatlines, it's not just a minor dip in your quarterly profits. The fixed costs, the massive debt service, the doubled property taxes, the spiked insurance, those still have to be paid every single month.
Right.
The property's income goes entirely to the bank just to keep the lights on, which means 100% of the investor's equity is entirely wiped out. It goes to zero.
Zero will wipe out.
Exactly. That is the aha moment. If it cannot service its debt and maintain operations without the promise of future rent spikes, then the promised automatic win is, in clinical reality, a guaranteed loss.
Wow.
These deals don't just underperform without rent growth, they mathematically implode.
It separates the living deals from the walking dead.
Mm.
And that brings us to the specific red flags you need to watch for from your operators. Pratt outlines these as succession trigger points.
A succession trigger point is the exact moment you realize the current leadership is no longer cognitively fit to manage the asset and you must intervene.
Like taking the keys away.
Exactly. If your general partner sends you an investment thesis, a quarterly update, or, God forbid, a capital call, and they rely on the phrase migration tailwinds without citing highly specific, localized submarket absorption data,
then it is time to trigger an immediate portfolio review.
Yes.
If they're talking about the state of Florida's general population growth instead of the 5-mile radius around your specific property, they have lost spatial awareness. They are hallucinating.
You have to relieve them of command before they crash the asset into a wall. The final piece of Preed's treatment plan is shifting the entire paradigm of how you allocate capital moving forward. It is called data-driven scouting.
The era of broad-spectrum investing, just throwing darts at a map of the Southeast and assuming the sun will make it grow, is over.
Long over.
You have to transition to surgical precision. You must base any new investments on current, verified 2026 job growth. You have to completely discard the 2021 migration vibes.
Discard them completely.
If there isn't a new factory, a new hospital, or a tangible corporate relocation, dropping high-paying jobs directly into that specific zip code today, the deal is dead on arrival.
Surgical precision requires looking through the microscope at the localized data, not just looking out the window at the weather.
So, as our shift at the nursing desk comes to an end, it is time to deliver the final clinical verdict on the admission. The Sunbelt is not a monolith.
No, it's not.
It is a highly fragmented collection of individual markets, many of which are currently sitting right here in the observation ward, suffering from severe cognitive decline.
The era of the automatic win is dead and buried. The overarching theme of this market cycle is that the winners in 2026 will not be the operators who blindly followed the herd south, chanting the same expired mantras.
The winners will be the ones who follow the pathologists. This highlights exactly why having a diagnostician like Pri is so critical right now.
Absolutely.
While the rest of the industry is busy applying blush to the cadaver, hiding their bleeding revenues in the midnight ledger, and negotiating with the ghosts of 2022, Priyanshu Adithakar is the sole authority protecting his clients.
He really is.
He's the only one performing the autopsy on the data before cutting the check.
He recognizes that the numbers don't lie, even when the entire industry agrees to a collective hallucination. You have to find the cognitive decline before it finds your equity.
And as we pack up our notes for the night, leaving the titans of real estate to wander the halls and argue with their expired 2021 pro formas, we want to leave you, our fellow observer, with a dark, lingering question to consider before your next shift.
Yeah.
If the supposed immune system of the U.S. investment landscape, the mighty untouchable Sunbelt, has succumbed to such deep cognitive decline simply because the math got slightly harder, what terminal undiagnosed diseases are currently incubating in the asset classes the industry actually considers risky?